Have you ever wondered about miracles? Would you like to have your spirit uplifted by inspiring stories of the miraculous in everyday life? Expect Miracles does just that. Author Mary Ellen Angelscribe shares a wonderful compilation of 70 gentle-hearted, true miracle stories sent to her by readers of her Miracles and Good newsletter. A Christmas filled with miracles is also the result of people sharing miracles that have found their way into their lives. These inspirational and touching books are available now at angelscribe.com for just $15 plus shipping and will be personally autographed by Mary Ellen Angelscribe. Expect Miracles and A Christmas Filled with Miracles make wonderful gifts and will open your eyes to the possibility that miracles do happen. Expect Miracles at angelscribe.com.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Tatira. I'm always on the lookout for really incredible talent. And when I was in Casadega, Florida this last year, I started hearing a lot about a man called Steve Herman. And I was really fascinated by him because I liked everything I heard about him. I was fortunate enough then to go to Temple Heights Spiritualist Camp in Maine. And again, I heard more and more about Steve Herman. So today we're really fortunate to have internationally known medium Steve Herman on the show. He has incredible credentials. He is an ordained minister, a certified medium, teacher of the National Spiritualist Association of Churches. He has taught really truly all over the world. He also is involved with the New England Center for Parapsychology. So I'm going to ask more about that as we get into the interview. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Yeah, it's really great to be here.
Thank you so much. There's so much good energy here. I actually met you. You're also involved with the International Spiritualist Federation, and that's where we finally met.
It was pretty amazing because I'd actually been up in Maine at Temple Heights a week or two before that, right at the end of August, early September, and I heard all about you there, and I really wanted to meet you. And the next thing you know, I'm in upstate New York in Rochester, and who do I meet? You.
Yeah, Spirit provides sometimes. So I really was fascinated by what I heard about you. And so let's talk, because I think it's really important for my audience to kind of get your background. How did you come into this? Because my understanding is you came into this very young as well. I did, but I'd like to hear, like, how did you get started, and how did you find your path to spiritualism? Because I think that's your foundation somewhat.
Yeah, well, I guess the first time the spirit world ever spoke to me was when I was 2 years old. My mom's father communicated with me and wanted me to relay some messages to my mother, which I did. So that was my first actual mediumistic experience, in this life at least. Mm-hmm. And I've certainly always been drawn to these types of things. I learned how to meditate when I was quite small. And I got into martial arts. I got into other types of meditative practices. So I was really drawn to this. And it's one of those things that when you get into it, you can't get out of it. You get in over your head.
So yeah, you kind of get that insatiableness going on, don't you?
It's something which is wonderful. And, you know, and one of the big things is what's beautiful about any type of psychic exploration is that once you get into it, it opens up the door to the soul of the dimension. And you can read something in a book, and you can hear something in theoretical, intellectual terms, but when you actually begin to experience what would be referred to as paranormal phenomena, it's something which actually proves things on a metaphysical level through your direct experience.
Right. So you have this experience. Two-year-olds don't have a great big vocabulary. So
I thought it was God.
Oh, okay, you thought it was God. Yeah, I wanted to hear. Yeah, because a two-year-old's like, who is this, right?
Basically what happened is I remember there was this one book that my mom had that was basically on the history of the world and history of European civilization. It had this one section which dealt with medieval Europe and religion and theater productions. I remember reading this. So anyway, that night I had a dream about that, and in the dream I was talking to God, and I was talking about different things related, which was actually on an unconscious level directly connected with what I had been exposed to in this particular children's book on world history. Now, during that experience, I actually was having a conversation, and the next thing I knew, I was awake, I was fully conscious, and I could actually see this face in front of me of a gentleman, and I could, this gentleman speaking to me, just like the way I'd be talking to you right now. And I remember having a conversation with him, and he was talking about my mother, and he wanted me to tell my mother that I had spoken to him and to say hello. Now, in my mind, in my two-year-old mentality, I thought that that was, you know, God, I'm, you know, speaking to God.
Right, I think this is a great point to bring up to our audience, because I used to have similar experiences. And, you know, children expressing simplistically based on their frame of reference. And for you, it was the medieval history book. You know, so in your dream state, which we call lucid dreaming now that we're adults and get what it's about, then it induces psychic experience or mediumistic experience.
It goes right into it because you're conscious of what's taking place. And, you know, you're working with your subtle astral body, which
yeah,
is what it's like.
That's why it's so important, I think, to listen to kids. What a great segue into our discussion today, because it truly is, you know, the door opens, especially in children, as soon as they can really start communicating, I think up until they're 6 or 7, when school kind of, or adults start talking it out of them.
Yeah, well, in indigenous societies, it's something which is, generally speaking, accepted or understood a bit more. But
absolutely.
In this society, it's discouraged, and there's a lot of ignorance surrounding it. But, you know, the big thing, too, is that everyone has this ability. It's not, sometimes you hear someone say, my God, I've been, you know, psychic since I was 3 or 5. I'm so wonderful. I'm up on a pedestal. But actually, we all have this.
I agree
really
with you.
Something, it just needs to be encouraged.
I think we all come in with it, but certainly how we develop it is dependent, I believe, on those who our support system around
oh,
us.
Oh, yeah. Well, the environment that you're in. The other thing is if you have someone who's, you know, most people, as you'd be aware of, who are involved working as mediums or psychics, they tend to be really in touch with their with the creative part of their mind. So they're artists, they might be musicians, something like this. And they're really very much in touch with it. Now, in our educational system, there's a lot of emphasis that gets placed on the rational mind or the logical mind. And what happens is there can just be a real imbalance in that sense.
Well, so, and it's really interesting, too, because when we're kids, at least in my house, thank God, even though my mother was Southern Baptist, we could pretend. You know, we you know, a cardboard box could be anything, and we would pretend. And
yeah,
I think
that's
since
really
the computer,
good.
We've kind of gotten, I mean, you can pretend in your mind with the computer and sometimes with TV, but I think that simplistic basicness is getting kind of, you know, lured away from kids. Now, I know you have children, so this is exciting because you will leave the door open for them to develop naturally, which is such a wonderful
absolutely.
Thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that everyone should encourage their kids to get into this and open up to it in a safe, positive way.
And I think parents should listen to their kids because kids will,
yeah.
out of the mouths of babes, you know. So how old were you when you kind of came upon spiritualism?
Gosh, well, the first time I was exposed to spiritualism was I must have been about 6 or 7, and I was watching a documentary film. It was on television. I remember it was in the evening, and it was on world religions. And they had different segments on different churches, different religious practices in terms of how the worship services were conducted. And I remember the things that stood out. There are two different parts that stood out the most. One was a wedding between two men that was taking place at a church in San Francisco. And I remember asking my mom, well, how can that be? And
legit question.
I think she just said because they love each other or something. Uh-huh. Anyway, after that, I remember the announcer, whoever was narrating the program, this documentary, said, well, you know, now we're going to take you to a spiritualist church in England, or in London, England, where people, you know, spiritualists believe they can communicate with the dead. And I was instantly drawn to it. Now, I was a bit disappointed because the little segment that had the spiritualist part, all it was basically is I remember this older gentleman standing up in front of these people sitting in the church and talking. And I couldn't, you know,
no meat and potatoes. You didn't get what it was really truly about. So then when did...
But I was drawn to it, you know.
So,
well, I started getting into it as a teenager.
And how did that happen? I mean, did you find a book on it? I mean, it sounds like, in a way, your mom was very encouraged you.
I got into a lot of, like I said, I learned how to meditate when I was little. I went we took TM lessons, Transcendental Meditation.
Wow.
And let's see, that would have been around.
So she was already kind of down the metaphysical road there.
No, actually, believe it or not, she's the exact opposite. But that's another story.
Wow.
She's really not open to this. I think she thinks it's all demonic and totally off the deep end.
That's interesting, but yet to be open to take transcendental, that's very amazing.
Yeah, well, I think at that time, if you go into the mid-70s, early 70s, a lot of...
Well, everybody was trying it, yeah, it was more open.
Yeah, and it was being marketed as the way, you know, to calm you down, to relieve stress, you know, those types of benefits. So anyway, I got into that. I started really getting into martial arts. I was getting into massage, working with energy, this type of thing. And I'm also very artistically oriented, so I'm very much in touch with my sensitivity. And I just started being more aware of that, and I started going out to my body quite a bit and opening up, as well as clairaudiently hearing my guides speaking.
So when you're young, I mean, what kind of books were you reading and finding to support this?
Gosh.
Were you finding, like, the Edgar Cayce?
No, I never really was drawn so much to it. I mean, I've certainly looked or read some of the Edgar Cayce books, which are quite good, but I was never really drawn to that. Gosh, I read so many different types of books, and they're actually close to where I grew up in Massachusetts. There's an early spiritualist camp called Lake Pleasant, which
started in the early
1870s.
That's where I wanted to get to. So you actually had, you see, because I'm on the other coast, and we really don't have it. I mean, actually, when I went to Maine, I was stunned how many camps, spiritual
camps.
Well,
there's at least two or three that are no longer around that used to be there if you go back 100 years ago. I mean, see, the movement started in upstate New York, but New York State, all of the New England states, it was really big.
So you actually found your way to a spiritualist camp first? That's awesome.
Yeah, I did. And I went there, and they were having some type of psychic fair there. And I went to this one man whose name was Reverend Ed, and he gave me a reading. And I had already been into it, you know, a number of years at this point. But
how old were you when you had that?
How old would that have been? I must have been when I was a teenager, around that time.
And that would be
15, 16? This is going back about, you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I mean, I think it's so important to find out how people come to this, because it lays a different foundation, because when you start listening to a lot of the different people, it's like they segue in different ways. I think people get in their heads when they go and hear mediums talk and stuff, that we all, you know, woke up one day, or we all had car accidents, or we all, you know, those kinds of things, you know, or they had to have, you know, the cosmic 2x4 some way, but really some of us came in just softly, you know, by being curious and pursuing that little something that, you know, made us
fascinated. Well, I think it's also deliberate on the part of the spirit world. In my experiences, is that they will beat people over the head, I mean, in a nice way, and open people up. And sometimes it doesn't happen to someone who's going through menopause, you know, midlife. Mm-hmm. They have something happen, and they think they're nuts. They think they need to be medicated and locked up.
And yeah, I'd rather not do the near-death experience. I kind of want the feather, you know. For me, I started in childhood, and I just thought everybody was this way. You know, I knew very shortly after that, through my mom and through people's reaction, that they weren't. But when I was really young, it was just like, you know, doesn't everybody see the light around
the
person? You know,
the best time period, though, to get into this in terms of development is actually during puberty and menopause. And the reason is because in terms of development, a lot takes place on a subtle level in terms of your own endocrine system hormonally. So when you're going through puberty and when you're going through menopause, that's already happening quite a bit.
Yeah, if you read Edgar Cayce, he talks a lot about how important the pineal gland and the pituitary are involved.
And we know that those physically are related to the subtle, you know, chakra energy systems, so, which are related to different phases of mediumship.
So you had this reading by this medium, and how did so that kind of got you down the avenue of being interested
in
having a camp in your backyard wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, exactly. But I already had decided at that point that I wanted to be a medium.
Mm.
So that was something that was really there. So I think I was actually supposed to get into this, and that's part of why they started opening me up. You know,
sort of finding, though, that there were people who were doing this, and there were sort of, you know, obviously some mentors then in this camp that...
Yeah, absolutely. I really got into it, and I started taking, you know, I certainly was reading so many books and studying intellectually, this type of thing, but then I started taking classes as I had more time, and, I mean, I was just, you know, basically breathing it, sleeping it, living it 24 hours a day. I had to really put a lot of other aspects of my life aside. And I still am very involved. I mean, I'm totally obsessed with it in a positive sense.
Now, what was the name of this camp again?
It's called Lake Pleasant Spiritualist Camp.
And
in fact,
still
an
Adventist?
Well, actually, yeah, it is. There's a spiritualist organization which has a temple there, and there's a few people who actually still own houses there that are spiritualists, although the actual grounds itself are no longer a campground.
Aww.
But historically, it was founded as a spiritualist summer retreat center.
And this is in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, Lake Pleasant, Massachusetts.
So
you can go online. There's a website for
awesome.
It.
Awesome. But I want to talk then about... So did you actually start taking classes at the camp and then start sitting circles?
I actually started taking classes at the Church of Two Worlds, which is located in Georgetown, Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite an amazing experience. So I was taking classes there. I also was sitting with this one lady who was a trance medium who had groups in her home. So I was quite involved in that.
That's a really wonderful thing, because I really, in my belief now that I've kind of gotten into spiritualism because I came from a different venue, I really think that some of the spiritualist churches really do have wonderful, wonderful classes, and they give a good foundation. They're much more on the other coast than my coast, unfortunately, and near Washington, California has a few. But really, truly, I think for the listening audience, if you can find some of these places to investigate, they really, really have there's hidden gifts, nuggets that you can find there. But you also teach all over the United States and even...
Yeah, I actually run programs all over the states as well as out of the country. And I was 2 weeks earlier this year in Iceland facilitating intensives and workshops pretty much every day for 2 weeks, which was insane.
You want to give your website before we forget. I want to make sure get your website.
It's stevehermanmedium.com, and Herman has two N's at the end, so it's H-E-R-M-A-N-N, stevehermanmedium.com.
Yeah, we want to remember to mention that, because everybody will be looking on the website. We do have it posted if you go to our website or if you get the Angel.
But I do have, I just had my fourth annual psychic mediumship retreat, which was Columbus Day weekend in central Massachusetts, and I mean, I have stuff like going on all the time, and I'm really into the teaching because I really want to help other people open up to this.
Well,
the more
I think
people
so
open up, the better.
What is the New England Center for Parapsychology? What is that?
Well, the New England Center for Parapsychology is a center which I founded in Greenfield, Massachusetts, which I ran for, over 10 years. I've actually relocated to the Gainesville, Florida area, so that center in New England is no longer in existence because I'm not there full-time, although I still run programs in western Massachusetts in the New England area. But just as of September, I'm in Alachua, Florida, which is just north of Gainesville, in north central
Florida.
That's
warmer. It's good to be there versus winter. But you also do some things at Casadega, which we mentioned.
Casadega is an early spiritualist camp, too, that was started out in the 1880s as a winter retreat for spiritualists from the north. So it would be like January through March. Well, now it's a year-round community. And wonderful place. The energy there is fantastic. I've been going there since 1990 annually, and I run programs there, services that do a lot of private sessions. They work me to death. I love the place.
Work you to life, honey. We can't die for the life of us.
Well, you would be channeling me.
So, let's talk about how you connect to the other side. How does mediumship work for you? Because I think every medium gets their information a little different. So, do you connect to your guide, or angels, or masters, or do you go directly? Like, say if someone came for a private reading for you.
Well, okay, let's just say that you made an appointment with me for a session. Now, basically, even though you've made an appointment with me at a specific time, let's say 3 weeks from now, you've also made an appointment with the spirit world. And when we say the spirit world, we're talking about your guides, guardians, your teachers, loved ones, acquaintances, anyone connected to you in spirit. And so during that time period, up until you have the reading, there's actually a lot of preparation that takes place. Just because someone's in the spirit world doesn't mean they necessarily have any type of comprehension of the mechanics involved in the process. So let's say your grandmother wants to come through. Now, she's never necessarily done it before, and she's going to have to work through me. So if she's going to come through me, she's going to be working through my helpers. And I use the term helpers as opposed to guide, because they're specialists in the steps of communication. They've trained with me, they've studied with me, and they know how to work with me as a medium. And so they're actually going to help the grandmother or the communicator be able to come through. And it's one of these things where they actually have to rehearse it. Now, you can have a lot of success with a communication, or you can certainly have, you know, mixed results, and a lot of factors go into it, and there's certainly limitations. But in terms of how I work is we know that the psychic senses correspond with the five physical senses. So some of the information I get through picture form or visually, which is clairvoyance, and that can be literal or symbolic. If it's symbolic, it's something which I would interpret. The other way I get information is clairaudiently, which is mentally hearing spirit. So I might hear words or senses. I might hear a name. I might hear a dog barking, these types of things. I also, a lot of times, will receive information through clairsentience or sensing or feeling. So if I had someone coming through from spirit, I will feel their physical build. I will feel their personality and character, which I'll describe to a T. If they're missing an arm or leg, I'll feel like I'm missing an arm or a leg. I might even make gestures or mannerisms because I let them come in very close and they overshadow me and they blend in with my energy. And along with that, I also mentally smell things, which can be quite interesting at times, and I mentally taste things. So I'm a vegetarian, for example, but you could have some uncle in the spirit world, and maybe he ran some type of greasy fried chicken joint, and I'll literally feel a piece of chicken shoved in my mouth, which is quite disgusting for me, but it has to do with the person who's coming through from spirit. That makes sense?
I think that makes really incredible sense. I loved how you described it. I hope that you're putting this in your book. You are working on a book, and I'm excited about that because I think it's important. I agree with you. I don't think, maybe in trance they really come into you, but really I do feel for me when I work, it is an overshadowing. It's like having them in your auric field.
Well, that's really exactly what's taking place. You're totally right about that. See, there's a misconception about the altered state or trance, and sometimes you hear someone who's, you know, they're purported to be a medium or a trance channeler, this type of thing, and they'll say, my gosh, you know, I went into trance. I wasn't aware of anything that was being said at all. You know, I wasn't there. They went to my body, this type of thing. But actuality, when someone's in a very deep altered state, it's not like they go into your body, but what they're doing, depending on the level of influence or control, they're putting you a bit of aside and they're working through the energy field. So they can actually control your nervous system, and they'll also work with your voice box if it's involving speaking.
Yeah, that's a very interesting. At the International Spiritual Conference, I worked with the person who was teaching trance from England, and it was very different to have to manipulate my vocal cords because I usually hear, you know, outside myself, I'm not having it actually come through my vocal cords. So it was a very different sensation. And it's interesting when you say, too, because I think in some of the writings and things that we hear spirit control, and I think people get that when they hear the control, they think that you're being controlled by the spirit.
It's really cooperation.
You don't have free will. And I think that's sort of a little misnomer, you know, because people take it too literal.
It's it is control in the sense that they're influencing you, but
right. You're
also in control, and that's just the whole thing with mediumship. If someone wants to actually work with mediumship, it's really important that they have self-control and discipline. They have to know what they're doing, and they have to have established a real functional, harmonious relationship with the helpers or people working with them in the spirit world. And you have a lot of people, you know, they go to a weekend workshop or they'll experiment on the chat line, doing readings for people at a distance, and next thing you know, they'll have an advertisement in some publication advertising, doing readings, and training for mediumship is really very, very important. The more education, the more training, the more mentoring that takes place by people who are knowledgeable and experienced, it's not something that just happens overnight.
I know, I will sound like a purist. I agree with you. People who just take, like you said, two-week workshop or even train for 30 days, I do not believe you can really be in depth in this, have your body trained, have the cooperation with your helpers in the other
realm
in 30 days. It is a lifetime passion, and it takes time.
Yeah, you're always a student. You're always expanding. And certainly you can be mediocre. You can be stagnant if you choose to, but if you're really enthusiastic and passionate about it, which is the way you want to be, you're going to constantly be learning, which is part of what I like about teaching, because I'm always learning. You know, I learn it when I'm presenting. I'm always working. And as a result, the people who work with me in the spirit world, they're always expanding what I do and trying to take me up to a higher level.
Well, I also think even people who have car accidents or, you know, spiritual wake-up calls, whether it's through puberty, menopause, whatever wakes you up and gets you, you know, kind of connected to your sensing, knowing, your clairvoyance, it's still a process of learning the mechanics for you. Learning for you, like you were talking earlier, you know, you'll have things symbolically come to you. Well, you have to learn what to you that symbol means. For example, boxes to me, to the side of a person, means a physical move. A box in front can mean fit in the box. So we have to learn sort of how all this works and how spirit, you know, like you said, they are training on the other side to work with us.
Well, they're also learning how to work with us, and it's a cooperative effort on both parties. And one of the things, too, they use what's in your head. So in a general sense, the more knowledge you have, the more education, the more broad-minded you are and exposed to different types of things, that's all information that's there stored on an unconscious level that they're going to be able to draw upon.
Right. It makes your data bank larger.
Yeah. It's like going into, let's say we had all these DVDs or CDs, whatever, and you know, we go in there and we're able to rewind the tape, so to speak. We're able to bring up things from your mind, from your memory bank, and utilize it for the communication. So, for example, let's say you had an Uncle Fred. Anytime someone who was an uncle named Fred wanted to communicate with someone, all they would have to do is bring up that idea of your Uncle Fred.
Right.
And you'd be able to say, I have Uncle Fred here, you see?
That's
and
true.
And it's different for different people. But the training is really important, just on an ethical level, because because you're working with people. I mean, it's not fortune-telling. It's not something on a superficial, surface type of level. It's something that's actually on a deeper level, touching the soul. And the real idea behind all this is to get us in touch with who we are in our own relationship with God. It's universal. It's not some type of sectarian religion or theology.
Well, there are many things, you know, that affect a reading, too. So, like, if I came to you and I came for a reading, it's not just you and your guides and they're connecting all this time that I'm, you know, getting ready to have this reading.
But it's also
the energy and what I bring to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a lot of the sessions I do, you know, are either the person be right in front of me or, you know, in a lot of cases, I've traveled quite a bit and I have many clients from all over the world, so you could be in another continent and working, and the big thing is the connection that's there. So someone who comes into a session and they're really enthusiastic about it, they're really positive, they've got the right type of mentality, that's going to create the atmosphere psychically and the conditions that will be conducive to really nice communication. And I find in my own experience that the easiest people to work with are other mediums. And the reason is because they have it in their energy field and they bring in the right conditions.
What about someone who's in heavy grief? Because, you know, we don't always see people that are at their best. A lot of times when people are coming to us in the work we do, they're coming because they're in deep grief.
Well, sometimes that's not always the best time to actually go have a session with a medium. I mean, it really depends. Each circumstance certainly can be, you know, different. But my own experience is that the spirit world, you know, they're limited to what's actually present in terms of energy. And that there's certainly going to be time. I've certainly had people who've come grieving, desperately wanting to hear from a particular loved one, and that loved one comes through just like that, you know, because the need's so strong. On the other hand, you could certainly be in that state of mind, and you could go to a medium, and you could be really disappointed because you have this big expectation. You know, I've desperately got to hear from my mother.
Right.
And she may not be in a place where she's able to come through.
Right, let's talk about that, because some people believe, now, I have my own version of the truth on this, but as I've gotten into this and met more spiritualists and some mediums believe that there's a lag time between the time the person passes over and the time they can actually communicate.
You know, each situation is unique unto itself. Now, I have had I've brought through thousands and thousands of people in the spirit world over the years, and I've had people literally come through the day they passed over from spirit, and the people didn't even know. You know, it wasn't until they got home.
Right, didn't know they were passed.
From me. Yeah, and it wasn't until they got home, you know, got a call from another state, and the relative had passed over earlier that morning.
Right.
Now, yeah, I've also had situations where it's the other way around. I mean, I'll tell you just briefly an experience. I was doing a church service outside the Boston area. This must have been going back a good 15 years ago. This one lady who was very involved there, you know, I knew just because I'd worked there once or twice a year. At that time, this lady, she was a psychic junkie. She was addicted to it. She would host mediums from England in her home. I mean, one time I went to her home, she had readings for the whole day for me. And she had literally every other month, it was like a medium of the month club, she'd be having a session with a medium. All over. I mean, she would travel 100 miles just to have a reading with some medium who she didn't know. Now, during the service, I was doing mediumship, and her father came through and communicated. And he had a message, and, you know, she understood it all. And so after the service, which is how I know this, she said that was the first time her father had ever communicated to her in 43 years. Now, why is that? And I really don't know the answer. I mean, there's a lot of possible reasons for that. Maybe he just didn't want to. But you can't call the spirit world up. You know, we can open up to them, but actually, I mean, they set the agenda.
Which brings me to a wonderful question, another wonderful question, because I don't think any medium can guarantee your loved one's going to come through that day.
Yeah,
I mean, you can book a
reading,
but that doesn't mean it's always going to happen.
No, absolutely. I mean, really, when you book a reading or a session with a medium, you're basically booking a session with the spirit world and realizing that they set the agenda. Now, sometimes the session's more for them than it is for us. We can't dictate it. And
but we have such expectations. People have such expectations.
And there's just a lot of lack of education about it, too, and experience. But it's an experimental type of situation. And, you know, if you go into it with the wrong energy, that's going to create results that might not be the best results that are that favorable.
Right.
So I think that it's really important. I mean, it's very beneficial for someone who's interested in this, you know, to learn about it more. Doesn't mean you have to do it yourself, but the more you understand it, the mechanics of it, how the process actually works, the better experience you're going to have. The other thing is sometimes, you know, you'll go to a medium maybe the first time, and it might be a mediocre experience. Maybe the session really doesn't meet your expectations. On the other hand, the next time you do it, usually the spirit world is actually in a place where they're going to come through even stronger. You know,
well,
I think it's true.
It depends on how skeptical a person is, how nervous they are. I mean, all those things. I mean, everything's energy, and it does affect the reading on how we plug in. And even how we are. Because if I'm sick or I don't feel good, I don't read. That's my rule, because I know I'm not going to be optimal to give the very good clarity that I need for anyone. You know, another question that I hear a lot, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, because it's sort of going down this avenue we're talking about, and that is, you know, I have a lot of people say, well, why would Spirit come through and tell me things like mundane things? You know, why are they giving me seemingly trivial information rather than, you know, where they left something or, you know,
Spirit on demand? There's two reasons for that. Okay, the first answer has to do with the mechanics of the process, and there's a limitation of it. You're working with the mind of the medium, you're working with energy. Different mediums certainly work differently or in different places, so how one spirit comes through one particular medium might be completely different through another one. And so because of those limitations, it may be very difficult to communicate certain types of information. Sometimes things come through very vague, very generalized, due to the nature of the communication. The other reason really has to do with when we remember someone, it isn't really so much about their name. It's what makes that person tick. And sometimes, like, very mundane, trivial types of things can be really the most evidential. And I can tell you a lot of different experiences and things like that. And to someone hearing it on the outside, it might seem that way. On the other hand, to the recipient, it might mean something on a very large level.
Right, might mean everything, yeah.
I mean, you don't really know.
Right, and as mediums, we learn not to discount those things, but to give what
you
we get.
You just give it out. You give
right.
it out as you
don't you
get
judge it.
It.
I think sometimes even I get, you know, we don't mean to, but we'll get in the way, like, well, that doesn't seem like in context with anything. But to say it to that person, it's like, oh, I... You know, that means everything.
Well, I was always taught, you know, never to ask questions, and I just say things as a statement.
Let's talk about that. I love that you brought that up. You know,
Anyone here know someone with the letter J that passed in spirit? I don't know if I'm on this side of the room or this side of the room. Does anyone here know someone named John?
Out of 300 paid people, there's going to be an odd there's a J, right?
Do you know someone here who passed over with a heart attack? Now, someone might genuinely get that as information if you're a medium.
Right.
But the big thing is you want to word things as a statement, never asking. The only things you might want to ask as a medium, does this make sense to you? Do you understand this? Just because that way you can get clarification if someone's not sure about what you're talking about.
And sometimes you don't want to go on so far that the client gets lost too. You know,
well, the other thing, absolutely.
Am I stating this in a way that you understand to get them?
I mean, you can have people, my God, they just don't know what to expect. You can give them their father's name and everything.
In the midst of this readings, too, sometimes people get spiritual amnesia because they're just in the state of wanting somebody, something, and expectations. So in that moment, they can't think.
It's really important to tape the session and to look into things because sometimes the best evidence is stuff that at the time we received the information through a medium. We just don't know. You know, for example, let's just say you did a session for me, and, you know, you brought through one of my relatives. I don't know my relatives, but let's say you're very specific with all the information, and I was able to record that, I was able to take that information and maybe consult with other relatives. That happens all the time. Sadly, though, a lot of people don't make the effort to do that. I just think, my God, medium was wrong.
I know. Let's talk about that truly. They do. Sometimes you'll give it and you'll be adamant about, you know, somebody in the family, something happened and da-da-da in the situation, and people go, no. And they don't follow up with relatives they may have vaguely known, thinking that, oh, that doesn't have anything to do with me or my generation. And yet, when you start putting the pieces together, the breadcrumbs might mean a lot.
Well, I had one lady, this is in Florida, a couple of years ago. I was at Casadega, and you get, like I say, it's just like nonstop people coming for sessions in Casadega. I'm literally worked to death, and this lady showed up for a session. Now, this lady had been married 4 or 5 times. I'm not sure if she arsenic'd her husband or what happened, but during the session, oh, my gosh, that's my second husband's mother. Oh, my gosh, that's my fourth husband's grandmother. It was like this the whole session. Now, she knew everybody. She knew all of her in-law families.
And that's a lot of in-laws and outlaws.
I had this guy up in Canada, going back a good 5-10 years ago, and I remember, anyway, one of the people, he was very experienced with getting readings, so it wasn't someone novice to this.
Right.
But I remember I brought through one of the people who came to the strongest was like a father. Now, I didn't realize it, but he didn't know, he could not recognize the person I was describing. He left the session, he had taped it. He was very pleased with all the information. He understood the other people who had come through, but he didn't know who this guy who was like father was, and he just got home. He was really good reading, but he was totally wrong about the guy who was the father. And he went home, and he played the tape for his wife, and she goes, oh my gosh, oh, that's my stepfather, you see? And so that can happen. A lot of times people's in-laws and this type of thing will come through. You can have acquaintances. You can have people you went to school with, people you worked with. It's not always necessarily people who we want to come through or we would think would be there.
One of the things in your bio that I was reading was talk about names and dates.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, I don't necessarily get names and dates, but I might, you know, I might get very descriptive about the person down to the favorite, you know, dress or their color that they love to wear or, you know, the perfume. How for you do you get the names? How does it come? Does it just...
Oh, well, there's a couple things. And the first thing I want just to say about that is there are some people that think, my gosh, you have to get names. Or, oh, my gosh, you have to get this name. And,
International thing, that's one thing they were kind of very... at the International Federation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because the English mediums are really, the structure of how they give information is dynamically, to me, different than what I saw Americans do.
Yeah, we're going on a few different things, areas here, but the big thing is, okay, for example, information is conveyed different ways, all right? Different mediums are different mindsets. I mean, for example, there's some people, they're very, 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 very clairaudient. You know, their auditory system is really developed. So with clairaudience, you can give certain types of information that you might not be able to convey the same way with clairvoyance, for example, this type of thing. Now, it's not that one's superior to another. Now, when you were describing how you get information, that's not inferior to someone who gives someone a date of someone's passing. Although some people might think, my gosh, you know, I gave December 3rd as a date, and it's so amazing. And it is, because it's factual, but the real, my own personal feeling is what's most important isn't so much necessarily the evidence. It really has to do with bringing through the fullness of the individual, the personality. And sometimes, I mean, when we remember someone, it isn't their name. It's what really made them tick. What were they like as a person? Sometimes just one gesture, just the body language of the medium, may be far more evidential or significant than giving someone's name. So that's what I would say about that.
Well, I think it's important for whoever's receiving. If you feel that you were absolutely connected, that that person got the essence of who that person is, whether it's through name, gestures, whatever, idiosyncrasies, or the message, I think the whole purpose of mediumship to me is to heal.
It's to get us in touch with who we are and with God. And, you know, evidence is wonderful. But after we understand that we are not our physical bodies, that we're eternal soul, higher, what's really important is getting toward God, higher consciousness. And really, we have to learn different lessons. We have a lot of faults. We have defects. We have challenges that we face in our life. And I'll tell you this. If you were to give me a session, which someday you're going to have to do,
we'll
I would want to hear guidance. You know, I'd want to really know, okay, how can I improve myself? How can I work and go up to a higher level? And it's something which, you know, certainly you have someone who's bereaved, you know, they're really in pain emotionally because they've lost someone dear to them. Or maybe they're just very atheistic and skeptical and they need to be hit over the head and actually be have it demonstrated through communication that there's life after death. Then the evidence is very important. But ultimately the soul guidance, in my view, is something that's more important. Now, the British style of mediumship, it's very traditional and it's it has a lot to do with just the society or the approach
right.
to the church structure there, but a lot of the emphasis has been placed on bringing through evidence and really, in some cases, even belittling any type of emphasis on guidance or that type of information. And, you know, my own feeling in terms of content or information that comes through, really the spirit world dictates that.
I agree with you. And we are, you know, I want to say this about spiritualism and the English style of spiritualism. Spiritualism was really based on proving the continuity of life. And their structure and how they teach still in this day and time is really structured towards that, which is wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do think we are going into an evolution where, you know, spirit's bringing much more to us, that we are evolving. And in spiritualism, they believe in natural law, and natural law says the one constant is change. And so change is everything.
Absolutely. It's all about progression. And really what happens is, I mean, for example, what worked in 1890 or what worked in 1940 isn't necessarily relevant the same way it is now.
And truly, truly, you know, it talks in most of the spiritual books and works that has to do with spiritualism that on the other side, the goal is to grow spiritually, to evolve. And so I believe as they evolve on that side, hopefully we're evolving here so that we are giving more information, guidance of how do we grow as a spiritual being.
Yeah, how do we improve ourselves? How do we get past things that are holding us back or causing us
Where's our tripwires, you know? And how
it's all about love.
Right, exactly. And how do we become better healers, better mediums, better spiritually?
I feel the same way myself. I mean, I'm very much a traditional spiritualist in terms of I believe in having very high standards. It's really, really important. But I'm totally into, because I believe spiritualism, and it's something which is universal. It's all about growing toward God. It's about improving yourself. Now, I'll tell you this. You can develop your mediumship, you can develop all these marvelous, amazing, mystical, and psychic powers, but if you don't actually work on yourself, if you don't develop your personal character and improve yourself spiritually, it doesn't really mean anything.
Well, and I really want to say, too, you know, I think that we seek not just our passed over relatives. I mean, for me, I speak higher evolved spirits because, you know, like I always joke that my aunt used to make a mean sugar cookie, but I wouldn't really dial her up to get spiritual guidance. Her scripture
well, the
was
way,
narrow.
The way,
but
the
I
way
know she's evolving over there, but still, I want to grow and evolve and expand my understanding.
Yeah, and there are masters, there's teachers there, and I'll tell you, in terms of sessions, I mean, when I work, the way it works, in terms of the mechanics of it is, like I said, let's just say your grandmother wanted to communicate with me. Now, she may be the one who does most of the talking during the session.
Right.
And it may be even more for her than you. And now she may be, you know, maybe she just had, you know, needed 50 years of psychotherapy, she never got it. And we know that she's going to have to get it over there and work on these issues. So she's not that involved, but all of that is arranged by higher guides and higher teachers, even if they have her do the talking. Now, a lot of times, even though she's the communicator, of course it is coming through third parties too, even though I might be directly describing her, it's coming through my helpers. The information, guidance-wise, which usually is quite wise and coming from a deeper level, where's that coming from? That's coming from these guides who work with you or who are your guardians. But you see, don't choose your uncle or your aunt who is very neurotic and uptight, you know, to come through. And you know, there's a reason for that. See?
Yeah, and it helps us also kind of look at how, you know, what often we inherit, you know, by example, we learn from those people that are around
those
us.
Patterns, yeah, they have a certain problem.
The BS, the belief systems. Sometimes by having your grandmother come through and say, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't get this right, helps us go, I might want to look at that.
Well, I have the same thing happen, you know, when I work with people, and it's quite common. The way they present themselves, there's a message in either for the recipient or people or situations around the recipient. For example, let's just say you came to me for a session, and, you know, you were totally an alcoholic and really having major problems with that addiction. You know, it's destroying your life. You're married. Your husband was leaving you. You're losing your job. All these things happening. Now, you very well, the communicator, let's just say you had an uncle and you had an uncle who passed over of liver damage due to alcoholism, he might be the one that comes through. And you never even really knew the guy at all. And he might emphasize how the drinking problem destroyed his entire life and all the pain it caused him and those around him. Now, there's a message for it. There's two reasons. I mean, one, so you recognize and identify him. But the other reason, the other component, has to do with, on a soul level, what your guides and higher teachers are trying to work with you. And people don't always get it. You know, they come to me and I want to hear this or I want to hear that. And
yeah. Tell me what I want to hear. A lot of people come to you. Yeah, come to meetings and say, you know, really, I'm coming for a session, but I really want you to tell me what I want to hear. Not what I need to hear. Not what they want to tell me, but what my expectations are.
Yeah, and I really want to help people with this. I really feel it's something that's really to help us get in touch with who we are, because if we don't work on these types of things while we're here in the material world, which is temporary, we're going to have to work on these things once we pass over.
And make sure you give your website again, because I know
I should give my website too, in
conversation.
But anyway, yes, my website, it's stevehermanmedium.com. So stevehermanmedium.com, and Herman is H-E-R-M-A-N-N, so there's two N's at the end.
Yeah, I want people to get the chance, and certainly you can go to BBS Radio. This show will be archived, too, because I really want you to get the chance to go and see where Steve is teaching. I'm actually hoping to bring him out towards Seattle because I do think
he's definitely
an amazing, amazing teacher.
And then we're going to elope and we're going to run off together.
me, your wife, and four kids. Three or four kids? You have a baby on the way, right?
We'll start some type of cult where we can have more than one husband or wife. I'm just joking.
You're going to start good rumors that people will go crazy. You know, it's funny. You can say something as a joke, and all of a sudden it becomes a gospel. You actually have three children, though, don't you?
I have three, and I have another one on the way.
On the way.
They're actually,
congratulations.
They're a fifth-generation spiritualist.
Oh, that's so awesome. Wow. I can imagine the books they're teething on. Bless
yeah, well, my wife is actually from New Zealand, so I met her on one of my tours over there through her grandmother, who's a very prominent spiritualist. So,
how exciting! So hopefully, you're going to write a book on all of this connections.
I actually have one in the work. I need to get out. It's just a matter of getting it out. And you know, if people are interested in connecting with me, they can certainly go to my website, stevehermanmedium.com. have a lot of programs, of course, you know, sessions in person or by phone, and I really do want to help people. I'm very much strongly into the teaching aspect to it, and certainly getting people in touch with their own gifts, so to speak.
Yeah, let's talk. We don't have very much longer, darn, because I do think it's important. You and I both have a big passion for helping people develop their own abilities. I don't think anyone should have to just rely on a medium. I really think that our loved ones come to us whether we're aware or not, and it's as we become more aware, then we really get how they interact with us. So give us some ways that Spirit connects to us as a just person rather than a developed psychic.
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, it really has to do with that they blend with our energy. They blend with our energy fields that are around us, and they connect into our mind. And if we really focus a lot, the worst case are at people who are engineers. If we're really focused with our logical mind, we're going to block them out. It's just like putting a wall there. So what I always tell people to do, it's a really good thing if they can somehow be involved with any type of artistic or creative type of expression, whether it's through music or could be drawing or painting or even doing ballet, something like this, because it will loosen things up mentally. The other thing is spending a lot of time out in nature is also beneficial. Just because that quiet time, that's when their thoughts are going to be able to be placed into our heads.
We almost have to get rid of the mind chatter.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big thing that I always emphasize with people, I mean, it's very important to it's just like brushing your teeth. And, you know, if you don't brush your teeth, what's going to happen? They get all yellow and eventually black and they fall out. I always encourage people, you know, to spend time every day praying as much as they can and also learning how to meditate and on a regular basis.
And I want to say meditation doesn't have to be all transcendental or, you know, just going on. It can be as simple as being quiet, going to a quiet space. Because I know a lot of people email me and talk to me when I go and when I'm teaching, is that I just can't meditate. I go, you know, meditation is as simple when you were a kid and you stared out the window and all of a sudden you were gone.
Yeah.
That's a form of meditation. It's nice if you can learn the structure, but for some people it's just not that way.
It's really, there's a lot of different approaches. The big thing is letting yourself get out of the way and get in touch with who you are on the inside. And when you go inside, there's that still small voice, which is connecting you to the higher consciousness.
Making time for spirit, I think, is so important. You know,
well, it's
I think
a priority.
Us
really
as
important.
Mediums, I just do it. I don't think about it. I just, my choice is to be with spirit, you know, every moment I can. And so sometimes I forget to tell people who are really seeking, just, you know, make a date with spirit, make time, you know, until it starts to become your norm. A fifth generation spiritualist is gonna be part of their norm. But somebody who came from a very different spiritual background may not know.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's why it's really good for people, I mean, to read as much as possible about it, to intellectually understand it. But also, if you can take classes, go to workshops, learn as much as you possibly can from as many different people. You know, keep a very broad mind.
But then practice, guys, too. I got to tell you, how many people I see go to a workshop, and then they think, okay, I've done it, so, you know, give me the paper and let me, you know, do this.
That's why I want us to be in an ongoing group.
Yeah, it's very important to go and then work and make it part of your lifestyle, and then you develop more. This has been such an amazing time to talk with you, Stephen. I hope we can make another show because it was so, I loved sharing and seeing how our lives are similar, but also how different they are. I think people kind of lump us all together, you know, and think we all have the same patterns and how we got there, but we all come from different aspects, different walks of life.
There's a fine line between being psychic and psychotic, so we know that we're all psychotic as well as being psychic.
I'm so glad we connected. Like I said, from the minute I kind of saw your bio and heard about you in Casadega, I loved your energy.
I didn't get to work at all. You know, you're going to have people, you know, call in into the radio.
But I loved it because we taught all this whole session. So
yeah,
I'll have to have you back so they can call in.
Well, you know what? I would love to. And I want to come to Seattle. Come hang out with me in Florida.
We'll make it happen somewhere. If not,
we're going to go to the Elvis Chapel in Las Vegas.
If not, we'll maybe meet at Temple Heights Spiritualist Camp. Before we go, again, it's Steve Herman with two N's on the end, medium.com. Make sure you check out his website. You will not be sorry. Again, you can check at BBS Radio to our archives. and it's just been so lovely.
Well, I have an email list, too, so if they email me, and I'll put them on it.
All right, and also go to our website at angelscribe.com. We will have his website up there so you can connect and check it out. And remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others, and to stay wrapped in the wings of the angels. Till next time. Bye.
All right, God bless you.
Blessings.